Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our program this morning. We also want to encourage you to check out our website, www.churchatharrisburg.com, and on that website you'll find many good resources. You'll find messages of these radio programs, of our sermons at Harrisburg, Bible articles on various subjects, and just very good resources that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please check us out and give us your input of what you think of our new website. This morning, we are looking again at the book of Revelation. This morning, we are going to examine the teaching of Revelation chapter 10. We want to begin, because this is one of the shorter chapters of the book, we want to go ahead and read the entire section of Revelation chapter 10. He says, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea, and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders utter, and do not write them. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Then the voice of which I heard from heaven spoke to me again, saying, go, take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel, and he said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth, but when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. In chapter number 10, we see an interlude between the sixth and the seventh trumpet. And here we see the beginning of four pictures as they're going to be revealed to us. And the first one is the angel and the seven peals of thunder that we just read in the first couple of verses. This angel who is sent from heaven is described as strong. He's also coming down, which is a present participle, means from heaven. Does this mean John now on earth is looking up towards the heaven? Well, maybe. But he's clothed with a cloud, a rainbow on his head, face like the sun, feet like pillars of fire. And again, this resembles and gives the impression that it's coming from the presence of God. Please read Exodus 34, verse 29, and Psalms 97, verse 2. He places his right foot on the sea and the left foot on the land, a mastery over all the earth. This is to represent a universal message. This message is for all the earth. He carries in his right hand an open little book, and we will note the details of that book in verses 8 through 11. He cries out with a loud voice in verse number 3, as when a lion roars. This is God's message of doom upon the disobedient. This is God uttering that something is about to transpire. It's a cry of attention, which is to go out throughout all the universe. It's going to be something the world is going to take note of. And then we see the seven peals of thunder that occur when the angel has cried. Seven peals utter their voices. John's getting ready to write down what these voices utter, but John is not allowed to write the meaning of the seven peals. Probably is a message for John alone, or because there is no more delay. But notice the key to this verse is in verse 5. It says, and the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven. Now, symbolically, this angel who has been sent from the presence of God, is standing with one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. In other words, this universal message is going to affect the whole earth. But why does he raise his hand to the heavens? Because he's going to take an oath. And who does he take an oath from? Notice in verse number 6. He swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. The oath is given in the name of God. In other words, this is a message from God. This is something that is certain. This is something that is going to happen. It is not probable. It is not maybe. It is not could be. This is about to transpire. And notice at the end of verse 6 that there should be no delay any longer. God has given Rome ample time to come to her senses, to acknowledge her unfaithfulness and her rebellion against God and persecution of his people. And God has used many different tactics on the earth and in different judgments that he has brought before Rome, as we read in 8 and 9, to try to get her to repent. And as we saw at the end of verse number 9, she fell in God's last attempt because of the moral immorality and the hardening of their heart to return to God and to repent. And now, because they are impenitent, God says delay is now no longer going to be held back. Delay is no longer going to happen. It's a description of the present dispensation from a different view. What we see is God's not going to delay the judgment that he's going to bring upon Rome for her sins. And then verse 7, we see the days of the voice of the seventh angel. The trumpet will sound. Then it says God's mystery will be revealed and declared to his servants, the prophets. What is that mystery that God is going to reveal? Well, it involves God's eternal purpose for his people. What is God's eternal purpose for his people? Well, ultimate victory. Read the book of Ephesians chapter 1 verses 3 through 10. It is God's ultimate plan before the world began to save all men who are his children through Christ. And that he will bring a judgment to evil. That evil and things that are ungodly, that stand opposed to God, there is a day of reckoning when man will pay and give an account. Deliverance. Deliverance for the righteous and for the faithful and for those who have not been moved. And vindication of all the people of God who have stood and have remained faithful and committed to his cause. You remember those under the altar that wanted to know, how long, God, before you avenge our death? How long till you pour out your wrath against your enemies? And so God's answer is coming very clear. That vindication and deliverance is coming. And the judgment against Rome will no longer be delayed. That is going to come down and they're going to give an account for their actions against God and against his people. But notice in verse 8 through 11, we have the little book. The book is first mentioned in verse number 2. And the voice that speaks from heaven tells John to take the book, to go to the angel and take the book from his hand. And so in verse number 9, he goes to the angel and he tells him to give him the book. And the angel's instruction is to tell him to eat the book. And it will be honey in his mouth, but it will be bitter in his stomach. He's to receive the message of God's word, and when he receives it, it will be pleasant. This reminds us of the pleasantness of God's word in Psalms 119, verse 103, and 104. But it will be bitter in his stomach. When we have to deliver the message of God's word, when we have to tell of his wrath and his vengeance and his indignation against unrighteousness. For the Christians of John's day, the persecution would be bitter as it was brought through their adherence to God's word. A message of sorrow and of woe. A message of difficulty. But yet that difficulty would demonstrate itself by their adherence and perseverance and faithfulness that they would be delivered in the end. That they would win. That they would be the victors. That they would be vindicated by God, and that God would pay the evil that had been done to them by the great power of Rome. You see, men are under God's judgment for rejecting Him. Yes, we have free will. And we can reject God, and we can reject all His avenues to try to bring us to repentance and to get us to change, but we can reject Him. Christians would suffer at the hands of God's enemy. People still suffer today at the hands of God's enemy. Christians who are trying and striving to live for God still suffer today at the hands of God's enemy. Yet, those enemies will be dealt with. Woe upon the church because of the great world conflict. Yes, the church is being persecuted. Yes, it must stand. And the persecution is not ending yet. There's still going to be some time that the persecution is going to go on. But let none be mistaken. God is going to deal with Rome. Rome is going to pay for her sin. Rome is going to pay for her ungodly actions against the church and the people of God. And she is going to pay for standing and opposing and blaspheming the name and the sovereignty of God. Make no mistake about it. Her destruction is assured, and her outcome is assured, and her difficulty and destruction and final end is coming, and there will be no more delay. God is going to begin to bring this destruction down upon them. What must John do? He must preach to the whole world. The book must be preached even today, and we must continue to preach that message even today, that God's people must remain faithful. They must remain dedicated and committed to His cause. They must not waver in their faith and their commitment to Him. And no matter what the enemies of God do, and no matter what the forces of evil do, and no matter what obstacles Satan puts before us, he cannot win. He cannot defeat us. And he cannot steal our crown unless we compromise our faith, unless we give in, unless we throw in the proverbial towel and we allow him to do so. Satan is limited, and all of his adversaries and all of his agents and all the things that are at his disposal have limited power in order to subdue mankind. They must give in. They must yield. They must help him to destroy them. He cannot do it on his own. God has limited his power. Rome has done everything she can to try to destroy the church and God's people. Heavy tolls of death and anguish and torment and misery and pestilence and all sorts of evil has been poured upon the people of God who would not compromise their faith, who would not cave in, who would not give in idolatry worship, and would not take away adoration and praise that solely belongs to God and can never be delivered to men. And many of them lost their lives. God knows, God is aware, and God is going to vindicate their faithful service. And he's going to make Rome pay for her sin, for her action, for her willful disobedience to stand opposed to the God of heaven and to subject his people to such travesty. Make no mistake about it. This message is going to come about. God says there will be no more delay. Rome had her chance to repent. She refused to. She allowed sin to harden her and harden her heart. Now she's going to have to face the music. That's the message of chapter 10. Thank you. Tune in again next week.